praise you. We thank you, Lord, for another night centered around your word and your truth. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God that we're here tonight. We're going to have a good time together. We are back on the book of Romans. Boy, we've been a lot of places.
Yeah, 2 weeks off.
Yeah, we've been doing all kinds of other stuff, but it's good to see you all here. Why don't you give a wave or a handshake or a hug or something to some folks around you, and let's get on with the book of Romans study tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and make sure you open them up, and we're going to get into the Word. All right? Are we ready for that? Praise God. All right, Ms. Shorter, I'm going to let you go ahead and get started with what we're doing.
Okay, do we have a reader tonight?
Okay. Who is the reader? We've got a reader right here. Okay.
We're on Romans chapter 1, verse number 16.
Right.
That's where we believe we left off, so.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and go to Romans 1 and 16. Now, one of the things about the book of Romans, you remember this, Kathy, back in the late 1990s and into 2000, there were groups that wanted to ban Romans chapter 1 from being read in America because it talks about
lifestyles
having to do with choices in same-sex marriage and all that kind of stuff. And it talks strongly about that. And we were visiting Congress at the time, and also the president, Bush number one at the time, and they were having some real challenges with folks trying to regulate the Bible from Washington, D.C. And so they had proposed to make it illegal to be able to read the book of Romans chapter 1 because they said it was against what they believed. But, of course, that legislation never went anywhere. But it's interesting to see that people sometimes don't want to be able to hear what God has to say about certain situations. And so it's...
And the Bible really does hit various subjects.
Everything.
And so as preachers, it's very important for us to hit various subjects.
Right.
You know, because we're studying the Bible.
Right.
We're preaching the Bible.
Right.
So we can't skirt the issues,
right,
even though that are uncomfortable for people.
And actually, tonight, we're going to talk about that. There are those that actually hide righteousness with unrighteousness. And that really gets God really hot. And hopefully we can get that far, but it's not that far away that we're going to get into this and talk about that.
Mm-hmm, and I want to give us the definition for ashamed before you read. So let's get that definition so that way when our reader reads, then we will have the meaning of this. Is that word ashamed means unwilling to do something because of shame. Hmm. Or embarrassment. Mm. Now, the reader, please read verse number 16.
All right. Go ahead and stand and read. Let's hear what the Word of God says about these areas. We're going to get somewhat into the heavy parts of this, I believe, tonight. But let's go ahead and get started. Verse 16, please.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek.
So I think it's very important. You can go ahead and be seated. I think it's very important for us. It says, for I am not. First of all, I like the ownership. I really, you know, when we say my will, you know, I love it because, you know, like we heard several weeks ago as well, it's our choice, and no one can choose for us, really. We have to make a decision for ourselves about the kingdom of God, about Jesus, about the Lord, about God, about his word.
Right.
So I like this because Paul, and we have to become like a Paul and say, for I am not ashamed.
Right.
You may be ashamed, but I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Now, has anybody in here?
And that means, let's read this, in the unwilling to do something because of shame or embarrassment.
Has anybody, be honest now, has anybody found themselves shame or ashamed because of your Christianity in a situation in maybe work or in just in life? Anybody ever where you try to hide that you're a Christian?
I think there's been a time I think all of us.
I did.
I think I.
You know, I was in broadcasting. Secular broadcasting.
There's been times where I
I don't want them to know that I'm a Christian.
Like, I don't
want
to be ostracized. I don't want them to dislike me. I don't want them to think I'm weird. I've been there before.
It's easy to be ashamed. Mm-hmm. And when we are ashamed, we just pull things back. Now, here's the thing that's coming to me, though.
And it says unwilling to do something.
That's
because
right.
you are.
That's right.
You know?
There's a lot of people that really need to be ashamed of what they're doing. But they're not.
Right.
There's a lot of people doing a lot of evil things in society. They're not ashamed. Mm-hmm. But it's so easy for Christians to be ashamed of the gospel, of the good news.
And we have to know that when we have divine appointments, we should be compelled to do something.
Right.
I want to tell that story from yesterday. Why don't you tell it?
What story?
The young lady that helped us, or the day before, she helped us with her SUV, and we let her help us, a stranger. This just happened 2 days ago, people.
Yeah, well, you know,
she was buying
some stuff for the church that she likes to fix up things here in the church. You ladies see the bathrooms, and we just saw the survey of churches, and one of the number one reasons why people come back to church is the women's bathroom.
Now, I didn't know that. I just think most women like nice, cute little bathrooms.
That's the number one reason.
At least I do, and that's
for
why.
For people coming back to church is the women's bathroom. Now, I must say,
grandkids, they said the other day, they said, Lil Faith, this is what she said, Grandma, the women's bathroom is pretty, and the men's bathroom is ugly. I said, I don't know what we're going to do about that, because men, they don't like flowers and candles and all this stuff.
She's got all this stuff in
there. She is so cute.
But we read this survey. I don't know if it was Barna Research. Some company had done research with churches.
It was a Christian research, yeah.
Yeah, and found out that one of the number one reasons why people come to the women's bathroom, and I hope it's the women that's coming, not the men, it's because of the women's bathroom.
That's
okay,
crazy.
Their restroom, we're high up there on that scale. So that's good, because she always does it. But anyhow, we were buying some things. She wanted to fix up the women's bathroom a little bit more. Seasons change, and this is just something she likes to do. We can have other people do it, but she likes doing it herself. So we're there, and I already got a bunch of stuff in the back of our car. And she buys this big old thing.
This is 2 days ago.
And tries to get it into the car. I couldn't get it in. I couldn't get it in through the side door.
And so there was a young lady, and she stopped. She was going into the store, and she stopped and started looking at us, struggling with this. Okay.
Right. And she said, you know, I have an SUV. I don't have anything in the back of mine. If you want, I can just take it to where you're going to go. I can take it to your home. I said, well, we're not taking it. We're taking it to our church. She said, I can take it. And she asked where it was. I said, on 112th by Waller Road. She said, oh, yeah, I worked pretty close to that. I can take it. Well, now we're saying.
I felt like
do we
it
trust
was okay.
Her?
And pastor's taking pictures of her car, the license, everything. I said, be discreet about this.
I did. I took a picture of her license plate because if she ever ran off with our table, ladies, the new table that's in your bathroom, if she ran off with it, we would be able to trace her down like we did for my iPad, okay? So anyhow, I just do stuff like that. Anyhow,
yeah,
but I'm telling all my business.
But I in my heart, I knew and said, this is okay. This is okay this time.
Yeah,
this is okay.
And so
complete stranger.
And so she took it, and she picked it up.
Little
short
beat us
little
here.
Girl, 21 years old. And she put it in her van, and we gave
the
her the address.
Did,
and she, and she took off, saying, I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, no, because when we showed up, she wasn't here. Oh, gosh, she's going to take it back to the store and get $50. Anyhow, So, but, you know, as we were getting ready to take some other stuff out of the car, here she comes. And just the nicest little girl. And we asked her, what's your name? Mm-hmm. She said, it's Princess. I said, yeah, that fits you pretty good. Mm-hmm. And she said, nice little girl. That she said, you know, she needed, well, Kathy.
Well, yeah. And, the reason why I'm telling the story, because we're reading, For I Am Not ashamed of the Gospel.
We couldn't be ashamed.
And so the first thing I said to her when she came in, and I said, just a minute. And I wanted to bless her, you know, for her time to bring that item. And then I said, you know, and I was sort of a little bubbly, you know, just excited about life, you know, at the time. And I said, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus?
And she was like,
I said, have you received Jesus in your heart? Have you said the prayer? And she was like, no. I said, well, do you want to receive Jesus right now? And she was like, I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you Heaven Yes and Hell No, a book that I wrote years ago. And I want to give you, I'm big inside. Do you have a niece? Do you have a cousin? Do you have a little kid that you know? And she said, yes, I have a niece. I said, okay, I'm going to give you this book. But the thing is, I couldn't find a Heaven Yes, Hell No in the bookstore.
You guys have bought them all.
Because we're standing in the book lounge right there. And I said, well, here, let me give you an invitation to the church. And I said, okay, hold on, okay, because I must give you this book, okay? Because she didn't want to receive Jesus right then, and she didn't really want to know about Jesus right then. So I said, I have to give her Heaven Yes, Hell No. Now, I couldn't find a Heaven Yes and Hell No down there. So I started praying as I said, let me go and check. In Danae's office, I said, Lord, please let there be a Heaven Yes and Hell No book up there. So I went up there because Danae keeps some of the supplies, and I'm looking around, and I couldn't find a Heaven Yes, Hell No book, you know, box of books and stuff. And then I looked on a counter, and it was one that was like in front of some other stuff, you know, it's like, oh, praise God, one Heaven Yes, Hell No book. And I took it down there. I said, read this, okay? When you have time, I want you to really read this and make a decision. So anyway, she said, I will. I said, okay. And so I left her, you know, we let her go. I asked her name, and then I asked her how old she was. She said, I'm 21 years old. And then I said, oh, you're married. And then that's when I said, okay, that's the holdup right there. No, I'm not married. And no, at first she said she was married.
I am married.
And then she thought about it, and then she said, no, I'm not married.
I have a boyfriend.
And I said, well, we've been married for 52 years almost. I said, so I just want you to read this booklet, okay, in a quiet time, you know, when you have time. And so we are not to be ashamed, because I knew, and I told her too, I said, this is a divine appointment. I really believe it's a divine appointment for you. It's not about you just helping us, even though you've been a good Samaritan today, and we really appreciate it. But this is about you today. And so, and I really felt, and I just really feel that as believers, we make those connections, those divine appointments, and we have to just be sensitive to say, this is the time they need to hear about the gospel, or ask them if they're a Christian. And because we want people to go to heaven with us.
That's right.
And so so anyway, it was just really a nice thing. And she's a young little businesswoman too. So we got her information. So I said, you know, I'm going to follow up with her. And so we got her address, her email address and stuff. So.
But, you know, there's two things about that. Number one, God is putting in my heart that doors of opportunity are going to open for you. And you can't be ashamed and not walk through those doors of opportunity. Because the worst thing they can say is no. I mean, she basically said, I'm not.
Yeah,
I think
I
she
said,
felt bad
ready?
About what's going on in her life right now, even though she was bubbly. But that's really, really important is to
a nice person.
Wait for these. Yeah. And the Lord has put in my heart to tell you tonight that doors of opportunity for you to be able to not be ashamed are going to open up more. Yeah.
And I told her, too. I said, you're so nice. You should be a Christian.
You know, so we have to be ready for those doors of opportunity to open and not be ashamed and be ready to be able to speak to people as God leads us to. And it's always awkward, okay? And you're not always going to be the closer. You're not always going to be, you know, Michael Jordan hitting the bucket all the time. Sometimes you're going to do like she did and just plant a seed. And then down the road, you'll find out that person received Jesus. But you assisted. I mean, you know, you passed the ball along, Somebody else got the basket, but the team wins. You see? And so stop trying to be the closer. Well, I got to get them saved. Well, maybe you're not the one to do that day. And the last thing I would say is make sure that if you're working with people, bring them into the church. This is one thing you do know about this church. At every service, we give an altar call. So people get an opportunity to say yes or no or whatever. But you need to know that God wants you to be ready for these open doors. And I believe that there's going to be more open doors, and you've got to walk through them. Because it's like God will set up a situation perfectly for you to be able to say something. And you're like,
And it may just be planting that seed.
Pray
and ask God for somebody else water it.
But being ashamed is for Christians, it's like they all have this. It's all it's always a personality trait for believers to be ashamed of the gospel. And I don't know why, but when it comes to the world, they're bold and crazy and, you know, wear their lifestyle on their sleeves and all this kind of stuff. And we're sort of wannabe Secret Service Christians, you know. We hide our credentials, don't say too much, don't want to change our talk or change our walk or even tell people where we go.
Yeah, the meaning of ashamed, once again, is unwilling to do something because of shame or embarrassment. And if I was embarrassed or ashamed, you know, of this or ashamed of the gospel, then I wouldn't have done what I was able to do.
We live pretty close to that store, and my first thought was, well, I don't want to take her to the church. And I'm like, why not? You know, I was going to say, well, you can follow us to our house, you know, which was not that far away, closer than the church. I said, no, you come to the church. You need to come to church. And then she received all this, and we believe, we may never know until we get to heaven, but she may have already received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going on? She may show up next Sunday. Who knows? But we know that at least we planted the seed, and that's all you can do is plant the seed. And your life becomes your life. And this is, I'm going to do this before offering. But I'm telling you, you need to be thanking God for what's going on in your life. Because you could be in bad shape. You could be homeless. You could. I mean, just because you grew up with a family with money or whatever, you could be on drugs. You could be one that's in jail. You could be a person that is hurting or not having food. It's the grace of God. And so we need to thank God. And see, what happens is sometimes we get so blessed until we're coasting. We don't really need faith. And that's what we're going to talk about as we go further with the scripture, is that the just shall live by faith. Now, faith means you're believing for something that you don't have yet. And so you got to learn how important that is. You can't have everything and think you don't need God for anything. You want to find something. And this is where you expand past yourself and believe for other people to receive something if you've got everything you need. And you're literally, I'm going to tell you the truth. My wife and I have no needs. We have none. I mean, we could always use some more money. We could always use some more cars, some more houses, some more this, some more that, some more whatever. But we, as far as a need, we don't really need much at all. And that's how most of us really are, if you really think about it. You know, you got enough food in the refrigerator to make it.
Shoes and clothes.
You know, you got shoes and coats and clothes and all this stuff. You really don't really need.
It may
need.
Be a desire, but not a need,
right.
really.
So, and there's nothing wrong with
really
desires.
We're blessed.
Yeah,
you know?
We are all blessed. We're not the only ones. You're so blessed. So you have to stretch out.
We don't realize how blessed we are,
You have to stretch out to use your faith. And this is where we stretch out to believe things that are not really just personally ours. We believe God for other people to get saved, or believe God for people to get healed, or other people to go through or situations that are blessed, or to come into situations, or to find a home, or whatever, or go through that relationship. We expand ourselves to others, but you won't do it if you're ashamed. If you're ashamed, you'll watch them, and you'll have the answer. Do you know you have the answer for people's lives? Man, I'm telling you, eternity is a long time. And if you give them the right information, they will forever be able to thank God for what you did with them.
Yeah.
But if we are ashamed, we'll just suck it up and not say anything.
Yeah.
And that's not what God needs. God needs us to realize, first of all, you are blessed. Because you could be, come on now, you could be. You know, I woke up one day after getting shot, and I talk about it all the time. Here I go again. I'm not going to shut up because I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful because I know what it feels like to wake up and not be yourself because of medicine that was put in my arm.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it feels like to not be able to function and think clearly, to be able to read your Bible and understand it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it's like to not be able to prepare all this word and not even hear from the Holy Spirit correctly. I know what it's like. I'm thankful for what God has done for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be thankful. You should always stay thankful. Let me say this to you. I believe as people get older, they get more thankful. Because they start looking back on their life and saying, man, this could have been a mess. Because you know how messed up you were at times, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I think as you, and I watched that with my father, he lived about 84, maybe 85 years old. And, you know, as he got older, oh, thank God. You know, he'd sit down, eat a plate of spaghetti. Oh, I thank God for them spaghetti. You know, okay. But it gets to the point where you really realize God is the one that's really helping you. And so we can't afford to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. I want to, and I don't care who gets sort of offended. People offend us all the time with their stupid stuff.
Yeah.
They offend us with all kinds of crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just the way they act, they offend us.
Yeah.
The way they talk, they offend us.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Okay,
so,
I'm off my soapbox. Go ahead, Michelle.
So it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I wanted to focus in on that a little bit. The gospel, I'll finish reading. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So I wrote this down. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. So there's only one way to get saved, you know, born into God's family. But I just wanted to, I don't know why, but it just sort of, power of God. The gospel, the word of God is the power of God.
That's right.
So the word is full of power, the Bible
you
says.
You should use the word.
And we have to use
to be
word.
That power source.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's saying unto salvation, we cut it off at heaven.
Right.
Well, it's going to take me to heaven. No, salvation means you're being rescued.
Right.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Mm-hmm.
It means health, it means prosperity,
right.
It means peace.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God deals with all these areas.
So it's the power of God.
It's the power unto salvation wherever you need to get saved.
Right. So if you need
not just
peace,
going to heaven.
Right. If you need peace and
right.
health and it's through the word of God.
Right, right.
It's through the word.
Lately, the Lord has been really dealing with me about loneliness. Because to be honest with you, while I went through that situation, I felt very alone. Because I wasn't myself. Because of what was put in me. And I felt like I was rejected. I felt that, you know, I'm your pastor. Running around here feeling like I'm so rejected. And nobody, because I couldn't function the way that I'm supposed to function. God allowed me to go through that. So that I could be able to understand how people feel. Because some people go through divorces or they go through situations, they get fired or whatever, and they don't feel like they're with anybody anymore. I mean, you know, we got a term that we hear a lot flying airplanes, you fly to another level, they give you another frequency to turn to, you turn to frequency to check in, and, you know, 2365 Charlie with you. 5,000 feet. I'm with you. In other words, you're taking care of me, okay? With you. That's all we say. With you. I'm with you. I'm now on your channel. You are now watching me by radar. Your responsibility is to keep me from hitting something, okay? So I'm with you, okay? And we have to realize that God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to say, whatever your name is, you know, Mary, Jane, Jimmy, Billy, with you. I'm with you, God. You are now, I'm in your hands. Mm-hmm. You are responsible for taking care of me and making sure I get a good trip all the way to heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven, y'all. I'm serious. This is going to be a party. Y'all, you all just don't know. It's going to be a party.
I can wait a little bit because I'm enjoying life.
Well, I can wait. That's a figure of speech. But I can wait. And I'm enjoying this. But I'm enjoying this. But I know what we're going to be enjoying.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be a riot.
Remember that movie years ago, Heaven Can Wait?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
So it's an old movie. Yeah,
there's no sense in being ashamed. Nobody should have shame in their game. The world doesn't have it. Nobody has it out there. Why do the Christians have to be ashamed?
That's right.
I ain't being ashamed of nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'll tell anybody. I'll tell a straight up heathen that's sitting there drinking his whiskey. You know God delivered me? I was going through this thing. Yeah, man, he set me free, man. So I know what it feels like to be sort of out of your head like you are right now. Because God can fix it. Okay. He can. He sure can. Hey. Yeah, he can. See, because I'm not ashamed. And, you know, I come from a lot of dignified baloney, with broadcasting and being on the air and being seen and promos on the television all the time about me being there. Baloney. And then, you know, flying with it. You know, and pilots do have egos, okay? It's because they're responsible for about 400 people sometimes on an airplane, and what they do keeps you alive. And you can't do that. And can't nobody just go in the cockpit and just start doing that. So they got a little bit of ego. So do doctors and attorneys and judges and y'all. Everybody's got a little ego. But we have to not be ashamed to where that ego is so big in us to where we can't talk about Jesus the Christ who saved our rear ends.
Yeah.
I got to go see the teens.
So it says, for in it, speaking in the what? What do you think that's saying? He'll be right back, Pastor Shorter. He has to go talk to the teens real quick. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. In what? What do you think that's talking about? For in it, the righteousness of what is in it? In the gospel. So in the gospel, you could say the righteousness or the right standing with God of God is revealed from faith to faith. Okay? As it is written, the just shall live by what?
Faith.
Okay, let's go with verse number. Oh, well, let's not pass that by. The just shall live by faith. Let's turn to, Lord's sake, just go back there. Let's turn to about faith real quick. Let's do a quick lesson on faith. Okay, let's see if I can, we haven't looked at that in a while, so let's go to Hebrews, okay, chapter number 11. What is faith? Because sometimes we think of faith as being a certain denomination. What faith are you? You ever heard that term before? What faith are you? I'm a Catholic faith, Baptist faith, okay? But this is not what this is talking about. It's saying that we should, what does it say, reader? Go back to Romans and read that again. For in it, if you can just read that again, and then we'll, and go all the way down to, go ahead, for in it.
Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Okay, so the just means what? Us. We're justified as if we've never sinned. Okay, when you come to know Jesus Christ, when you say, Jesus, come into my heart, you know, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness and all that, and you receive Jesus Christ, at that moment, okay, at that moment, you become justified through the blood of Jesus. Praise God. And really, we're the ones that remind God of our past. God will never remind you of your past. Now, Satan will. So sometimes, you know, Satan will put in your mind what you used to do, drink, or, you know, whatever it was that was sinful. And he'll try to play a video in your head. And, you know, he's really good at reminding you of your past, because sometimes when he does, then he can, the Bible says, Satan comes immediately to steal the what? The word. Notice that it didn't say Satan comes immediately to steal your health. Satan comes immediately to steal your wealth. It says Satan, or your peace. It says Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Because in the word, that's the power of God, right? Okay. And so if we're walking by faith according to the word of God, then we're going to obtain the health and the things that we need in this life. The good fight of faith we're going to fight, right? Okay, so Satan is after the word, and this is how we build faith. We go from faith to faith, as that scripture is saying, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith. So let's talk about faith just for a moment. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, now faith, say faith, is the substance of things, say things, is not just spiritual things, okay? It didn't say just spiritual things. And there's a scripture that talks about, you know, spiritual gifts and blessings. So this says things, okay? So it includes spiritual things, but it's also things, okay? Because we need things in life. We need shelter. Right, we need clothes. Lord knows we need clothes. You know, some people don't know they need some clothes on, okay? That's what we should tell them. You need some clothes, okay? And because think about it over in Matthew where it says, don't worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on, you know, and God will take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God. So God is not opposed to things. He's opposed to things having us, okay? And so we need to always keep things in the right order. God first. But notice he says God first. So if there's a first, there has to be a second and a third and a fourth. So he says, seek me first. In other words, he's saying, just prioritize me. Make me number one in your life. You know, the love of your life. And when we really develop a relationship with God and spend intimate time with God, you won't have time to be lonely. Amen. And you're really lonely because you know, this is really, you know, like a plague right now, loneliness. And so, but we really have to be honest with ourselves. We're really lonely because sometimes we stay to ourselves. And God never created mankind to be by themselves. We need relationships. And that's why the church is really good. Because you have to see these people in the church as your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay? And so I know we're deviating. But, you know, this is very important. Because it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So God does not have a problem of us having hope for some things. But our number one thing should be to have a relationship with God because we keep God first. Seek first. That word seek means to, in the Greek word, it means to aim at. So we're aiming for the Lord. We're chasing God down. You know, we're talking about the blessings chasing us down. We should chase God down, okay? And so it's important for us to spend time with the Lord. Yeah, we can drive and pray and all that, but I really encourage you to have some intimate, really time with God where there's not, you know, you're praying in the car and then all of a sudden a car trying to come over in your lane and, you know, and you're distracted. So sometimes it's good, even if you start with 5 minutes, just sit there and meditate on the word of God and pray and spend time with God, okay? So it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. So there's another scripture that says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's so important when you're dealing with sickness or challenge in your life, or, you know, just people, we must, I'll include myself, we must learn how to walk by faith, and we only could do it when we have faith, and faith comes by the word of God. So I tell people sometimes, you know what your real challenge is right now? You don't have enough faith for this. You don't miss too many services. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that's why we should be in church all the time. Because you never know what you're going to miss. And if you're not there, you can miss it. And maybe it's something you really need it. Okay? So you can have faith for it. And I tell people, I say, you're not at church enough. And I said, in fact, I remember one time I was telling someone, I said, you know, we talked about that at the women's meeting, but you wasn't there. So you missed it. And yeah, that may be hard for them to hear, but it's the truth. And we are to speak the truth in love, and we just let people just go along and just, you know, come on, honey, you know, bumping into walls and stuff. I want to see people blessed. I want to see people happy. Amen. Really, I do. And the older I get, the more I want to be like that, I guess. You know, I want to bless other people. Like Pastor Shorter said, our needs are met. I want to, you know, my heart is, how do I get it into somebody else's life? And so that's why I think I was so excited about this young girl. And I told her, I said, this is divine. I don't know what's going on with my sound.
Our speakers were not on.
Oh, now I can hear myself.
You were hearing monitors,
oh,
basically.
And I said, this is a divine appointment for you. I said, I don't believe, you know, that this is a mistake, and, you know, and I went all that. But anyway, so faith comes by hearing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So important. If you can't see it with your physical eyes, you'll be able to see it when you build your faith. And it takes time to build faith, because it takes time to come to church and hear the word of God. And you have to hear it on that subject. So maybe we're not on that particular subject at the time, but then we'll get to it,
Yeah. Especially
at this church, because we'll cover every area, okay? But you just have to be there, and sometimes people miss the whole thing
Yeah. Because
they let their flesh get the best of them,
Right. And
their flesh is leading them and convincing them that they're too tired to go to church. But notice how your flesh, even if you're too tired to go to work, you go. Because that money is motivating you to go. And so we need to see that faith is so important, and faith should motivate you to say, I need to go to church because I need more faith. Because some of you are losing in life because you just don't have enough faith in that area. And so we have to build our faith,
Right. And
it takes time, okay? And so, go ahead.
Can I take us to another
Sure. Scripture
in a minute?
Yeah.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah, because we got over here. Because we were talking about
faith
in Roman, the just shall live by
faith.
So I said, let's do a quick lesson of what faith is.
That's what was in my heart. Mark 11:23.
Go to
Mark 11:22. Now this is a basic scripture about faith. And see, if you do not have any desires, or you don't want anything more than you have, and this is why, you know, some people that's well off, it's a little tough to get them to get excited about God and faith.
And faith is your faith is in God. So when you say you have faith in his word, you're having faith in God. God and his word are one, okay? So if you're believing God for something, that means you're trusting God, and you believe he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask. And it didn't stop there. Or think. So you have to get your mind together too. When you're fighting the good fight of faith, you must check your thoughts.
Right.
And so it's a fight. You know, I'm telling you, even when you were going through those 7 years, you know, almost 7 years, the enemy would start throwing things in my head, and I would have to cast them down, and I would just say, no, I'm going to speak the word of God. So it's important. You ready for it?
Yeah, let's go to verse 20. Let's see what that does for us. I need, and the Lord put it, okay, now in the morning, as they, that's Jesus and his disciples, passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, this fig tree, Jesus had cursed. Let's go up even further. Let's go to 16, see where we can get. Verse 16. Verse 17. Just want to pick this up. Let's go to 17 instead. Verse 18. We can start there, I'm pretty sure. I just want to stay with this subject. And the scribes and the priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy Jesus. And, you know, this is part of it. And, you know, this is still around. People hear the truth, and they want to destroy the people that bring it. Because he had talked to them, to the scribes and Pharisees, about God's house. Okay, so he was in the house. This is where he whipped the people out of the temple. Jesus was violent at that time because he's so concerned. That's one of the reasons why we don't sell tickets for nothing at this church. Never have for 38 years. Won't do it. And I will put in the bylaws of this church before I'm gone. We will never sell anything in this church for coming in. See, because what's too crazy to me is that you sell a ticket for so-and-so, so-and-so, the big singer that's going to come on Saturday night and then beg people to come on Sunday morning. Stupid. If you begging them to come on Sunday morning, why don't you let them come on Sunday night? Raise the money, have the people give the money, whatever, yeah, and pay for the people how much, yeah, they want, which is astronomically stupid amounts of money. I come out of entertainment just to sing a song that Anthony can sing better. And it's their song, but he can sing it better. Or Anaya. Because it don't cost that much money to fly across town and sing the song. It doesn't cost that much. See, this is not entertainment. In the entertainment business, you're expected to pay that. To go see the football game, it costs you $750 for a ticket.
Well, there is, the scripture says, freely you receive, freely you give.
So we can,
you shouldn't,
we can
charge.
Make this.
Preachers shouldn't even charge.
Well, why don't we charge? Put an admission at the door.
No,
that's
preachers.
Stupid.
Preachers shouldn't even charge, if they're invited to a church, and all the ministers we bring here, they don't say, "Well, it's going to cost me, you know, $10,000 to come to your church to preach." We won't even invite people like that. So if the preachers doesn't charge to preach, why are singers charging to sing? Which one is more important in a sense? The word, even though the word's in the song, but still is on the same level, you know, in a sense, as preaching the word or preaching through singing. You see what I'm saying? So why is that happening? Now, that's something they have to deal with their heart.
Right, and
about,
so Jesus was dealing with them about this because they were buying and selling in the church. Okay.
But we do give them offerings, but that's different. We're sowing into their lives.
Right.
You know,
because we're not going to, we're not going to buy. And we've literally had people say, well, it's $250 a song. So if we sing four songs, it's $1,000. You know, and we've had people, you know, this got bad 10 years ago, 20 years ago, where people were charging for prophecies.
Yeah,
and the bigger, and the bigger,
yeah,
the prophecy,
was,
the bigger the prophecy, the prophet, so-called prophet,
yeah,
spoke over you,
it's
the more it would cost.
Yeah, yeah. This was many
they
years
had
ago.
A certain
I haven't
lines,
heard about
a
it.
A $50 line.
Yeah.
A $250 line.
They went
line,
all the way up to
a $500
line
and a $1,000 line. You, yeah, just get into the line, and based on, yeah, the amount of money that you put up for the prophecy, that's how much prophecy you got out of them. See, this is stupid. Okay, now that's what Jesus was dealing with, them buying and selling in the church. Now, in the bookstore, or book tables, or whatever it's called, book lounge, if you don't have the money, take the book. We're not charging you. Actually, what you're doing is giving a donation. There's a suggested donation for it, but if you don't have the donation, for everything in there. But if you don't have the donation, we get a book away. Our thing is to get the gospel out. Because we're not trying to get rich off the books in the bookstore. My books are all over the world. I mean, I'm not trying to sell the books in the bookstore. I don't really give a rip. I mean, but we want to help people. So Jesus had to deal with that, and he was coming away from that, for they feared him. And this is what we're talking about, being ashamed. You need to understand, some people are scared of you. You talk too much Jesus, you scare them. Because some are sort of superstitious. You're going to pray something that's going to mess them up or something. Or you're judging them, or you can see something. People treat us like that. You know, Pastor, I know you already knew. No, I didn't, but now I do. I didn't know nothing. But you telling me, so now I know. Pastor, I know you saw, so I know I ain't see nothing. But you telling me, so now I was blind, but now I see.
Okay. Yeah, you really have to be leery of people like that. That,
right.
You know, all the time, they got a word, they got
always,
this.
Always,
you have
always.
To be leery of people like that,
right.
because God's gifts, and I'll be teaching this tomorrow night, but God's
MTS.
Gifts
and callings.
is according to his will when he wants to have that gift in operation.
That's right.
And so, you know, because people have walked up to us and say, you know, what is God showing you about me? I said,
showing me that
no.
you walked up to me and asked me what's God showing me.
Yeah.
About you.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
If I do have something, God
some
does show some things sometimes.
Taken this, because you can abuse anything.
I know.
So anyway, so
we're
go
not
ahead.
Magicians, okay?
Yeah.
And so Jesus was talking about this, and they were astonished at his, watch this, teaching. So some people can hear you knowing the word of God and get a little funny with you, but don't be ashamed. Never be ashamed, okay? Now let's continue on to the next verse, which will take us into what we need to do. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. So he left this place now where he had whipped the people out of the temple and rebuked them. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree. Now this fig tree was a fig tree that Jesus cursed.
Some of his disciples.
Previous,
yeah.
Yeah, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Jesus had cursed this fig tree because it was breakfast time when he came by there. He was hungry. Figs give what is called a show, which is in the springtime, but then the actual fruit in the fall, from what I've studied concerning this. But anyhow, there should have been fruit when Jesus looked for it. Okay,
yeah.
But there was no fruit there, and so Jesus, you know,
and it sort of shows his humanity too. So.
Right, he was just hungry, and he cursed the tree. Now, if it works to curse, it'll work to bless.
Amen.
And I try to tell people that concerning the church. Listen, the anointing of God on the minister's life can cause people that were going to die to live. Can cause people that couldn't get any favor to even get a job to all of a sudden get the dream job that God has been waiting for them to have. Can cause them a marriage to come back together through their prayer and their anointing and all this kind of stuff. But you get on the backside of that. You get on the wrong side of that, and you're working against the anointing. It can cause, I mean, the angels waved their hands over those folks in Sodom and Gomorrah and blinded them. Well, the same act, Jesus healed people that were blind. So you want to stay on the positive side of the anointing of God. Jesus cursed the tree, but he could have blessed the tree. He cursed the tree. And see, this tells us also, you better watch what you're saying, because you may be cursing stuff, talking negative about things in your life and not realizing that you have the power of God in your life because you're a believer. So you can't just say anything. And some of you, you need to realize, as you load up with your pornography, you are killing the power.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had to study pornography. I had to study same-sex marriage because I did had to do a television thing with Chaz Bono and Ellen DeGeneres prior to Ellen DeGeneres starting out having television programs. I had to do it through the ABC station in Seattle, and it was carried over most of the country. But anyhow, when I studied all this, I found out a couple of things. First of all, that pornography actually physically changes your brain also. It causes your brain to shrink. So it's not good for you. Dr. Dobson and some other of the psychologists, Christian psychologists, have studied people's brains. In fact, Dr. Amen, who is a well-known psychologist, psychiatrist, and Christian man that loves God, he has studied thousands of brains, and especially brains of criminals and those that have had experience with pornography. Pornography is not built for you, ma'am or sir. It's not built for you. It will mess you up. And so it's hard to bring out of your heart when your brain is messed up from this perversion. Pornography is of the devil, and you can't fight it. I don't care how big you are on campus. You are not strong enough to handle pornography because it affects your mental. Sex basically is a mental thing. I know you don't believe that. But it's basically a mental thing. It's what you feel, and your feelings come from what's coming up here from all of your nerves and all of the things that you got in your body. You please in your head more than you please in anything else on your body. I'll just quit right there. Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, see, because I'm saying we should be strong enough to be like Jesus, that when we say something, we better say, oh, no, I can't say that, because I got too much power in my mouth, because I got the word of God in me and God's spirit is operating in me. And so I can't just say anything. I can't just do anything. But when you start getting tied up with pornography and foolishness, you are not going to be able to have that power. Jesus wouldn't have that power. He's sitting there watching, you know, some nasty porno stuff on his computer. And if you're doing that, you are hurting yourself. In fact, you may be disqualifying yourself from heaven. Let me finish this. Because the word adultery and idolatry, yeah, it's part of that meant. Adultery and idolatry are the same words. It's the same word in the Hebrew. Adultery, and idolatry. Because you are worshiping this sexual act or this sexual feeling. And this is the reason why sexual perversion, like same-sex marriage or anything else. See, God created sex for one thing. The celebration of a married couple coming together in the union that he put it in. And the celebration prize is supposed to be having a child. Yeah, anything outside of that. I'm telling you what God sees it like. And see, and this is why people, in Jesus' name, sort of like the cowardly lion again. I do believe. That ain't working. You don't really believe. You can't believe. You believe other stuff in your head that's blocking your ability to get to where you need to go. Do you know how powerful you would be if you get that crap out of your life? My little girls.
Plus, you'll have peace.
My little girls, I'm going to say this because we're going to talk about faith next week. I can't get totally there. But my little girls, Monet and Danae, but Monet especially, but Danae too, I would hear them sometimes. Maybe they're 4, 5, 6 years old. And they were in the room, and I've talked about this before, and they're just. I can't sleep. They're just coughing. And I'm saying, you know, we've given them cough medicine. We've, you know, Vicks salve all over their head. I mean, you know, some of you remember Vicks. Okay. My mom made me eat it anyhow. Anybody else had a mom like that?
But it didn't kill us. Yeah. What was it about? If you guys know more about it, I don't want to know about it. And my mother would put her finger just like in that jar.
That finger.
And put it right on your tongue and you eat it.
Swallow that, boy.
I never did that to my kids, but it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt me.
They're in there.
I'm alive today, and she would just boom, and you open your mouth, and anyway.
So they would be coughing.
I wouldn't try it. Nobody tries it. Okay.
And the Lord put in my heart, go in there and rebuke that thing. This happened several times. I go in there, lay my hands. I've been coughing for 2-3 days. Lay my hands on them because I'm too sleepy. That's really the reason why I'm doing this. Sort of like Jesus was hungry. I'm sleepy. Come out, in Jesus' name. Walk out, wouldn't hear a cough again. period. Not just that night. It was over. That whole thing had to, that sickness had to go in Jesus' name. Now, we all have this power. But we stifle the power by what we allow in our lives. Lying, cheating, pornography, foolishness. We got to be serious about the things of God. Jesus cursed the tree. They were Shazam. What happened to the tree, Jesus? And Jesus said, they said, look, the tree that you cursed withered away, because they're used to people like we are saying stuff and nothing happens. That's how we're used to people saying, you know, all kinds of stuff, but it never happens. Even preachers. That's why preachers don't make very many promises anymore, because they don't feel like it's going to work. We're supposed to step out by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Jesus used his faith. And in the next couple of verses, watch what it says. Come on, go quickly now. Quickly, because we got to quit. Yeah. It says, so Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. All this is tied to faith. So you don't got a tree you want to curse, but you got a life you want to bless. You're going to need some faith to do that. And so we want no encumbrances. I don't want nothing stopping me. I can't afford to get angry at anybody. I can't afford to let, you know, sin get between my wife and I, where, you know, she's mad at me, I'm mad at her, and we're just sitting there, you know, can't talk to each other. I can't do that, because that will hinder. I certainly can't get involved with some crazy sexual crazy mess out there, lusting after women or watching some stupid pornography. And half that junk, you know, with AI, you don't know what you're looking at. You're probably looking at some kind of cartoon. You don't even know. You know,
you're putting heads on top of other people's bodies.
You go to meet the person, they ain't even got the same body. You see the head, but the head don't match the body. This is stupid. I mean, we waste our time with a lot of stupid stuff. But we need to know that God wants us to be powerful so that we can use our faith. Say faith. Say faith.
You only could come to this church and hear this kind of stuff like this.
No, that's not true. Say faith.
Faith.
Say again, faith. Say faith comes by hearing.
Well, can we read the
and
rest?
And hearing by the word
close?
Of God. Sure.
So it says, have faith in God. Another way of saying it too, when you study that out, is have the God kind of faith. And it says, for surely I say to you, this is Jesus. He's saying, whoever says to this mountain.
Say, I'm a whosoever.
I'm a whosoever.
It says whosoever or whoever says. So you are whosoever. You can start saying to the mountains in your life.
Yeah, because remember, he's talking about a tree.
That's
right. But now he called it a mountain.
That's right.
Because he's just showing us that whatever's big in your life, be removed, he said, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. But believes that those things
he says
will be done, he will have whatever he says.
See, and we're waiting for somebody else to say it. We should be strong enough. That's why I say clear out all the mess out of your life. You should be able to have whatever you say. Whatever you say. I'm waiting for somebody else to say something. We're self-contained. I mean, you know, we love people. We have friends, but we don't rely on people. We don't rely on people to pray for us, really. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff that was going on.
You guys shouldn't wait.
You don't have to rely on everybody else.
You need to pray for yourself.
But you can
now,
have people agree with you.
Now, we are praying for you. Our intercessors, thank God for our intercessors, because some people outside this church, as part of this church, they're surviving off the prayers of the saints. That we're praying, the intercessors are praying every Sunday and every Wednesday. They were praying for the congregation. They did it tonight. I went in there tonight to be a part of the prayer team that's in there leading. And Sister Terry Manning was leading the prayer. And she was just praying away, praying for the congregation, praying that you're going to accelerate with blessings this year. I mean, she was saying this over the congregation.
Yeah.
And then some of them, they feel like they're getting away. But no, we're praying for you. Mm-hmm. And it goes with that scripture. I know we need to close. Remember, Jesus said, I prayed for you.
Yeah, that's right.
That Satan cannot sift you as wheat. So intercessory prayer is very important. We need to thank God people are interceding for us. And I believe Jesus prayed for me, but I believe he had some other people pray for me when I was younger. you know, and was a part
of course.
Yeah. Praying for my salvation. I believe people are praying
but
for
see,
you.
But see, we grew up, I'm going to say this.
We really do have to
We
close.
Grew up
we
in the church where they
on.
Would say, pray my strength in the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like saying, do 50 push-ups for me and hand them to me.
I wish.
You can't
I wish.
Pray my strength in the Lord.
I wish you could do it for
Jude
me.
Jude 20. Jude, there's only one chapter. Verse 20 says, build yourself up praying
on your own holy
on your,
faith.
On your,
it's not going to give you faith.
Praying in the
praying
Holy Spirit.
In the Holy
Put
Spirit.
That up there real quick.
Yeah.
Jude 20.
You it, build yourself
you
up.
You
got
to pray for yourself.
So when you feel like you're torn down and you're just weak and.
Pray in the Spirit.
You need to just pray in the Spirit because you're going to pray the perfect
verse 20.
Will of God.
Yeah. Look at what it says. But you, beloved, building up yourselves, building up yourselves, building up yourselves. Don't wait for everybody else to build you up. Well, I'm going to go to church and the pastor's going to build me up. Listen, I'm going to tell you, everybody else needs to build their own selves up.
Yeah.
They still, and this is what I say. Some people, they can't care. They're so busy with their own lives, they can't care about us.
Other people,
you,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody else around them, they can't mm-hmm. care.
We
they
never should
care,
get to that point,
and some
though.
People are so busy with caring for themselves,
yeah.
they can't care for
we
everybody
We never
else.
Should. If you notice that
so
that's all you
them.
Pray about, then you have to pray, Lord, help me not be self-seeking.
Right.
You know, because we should care about one another, and we should pray for one another.
But yeah. most people, you yeah. build yourself up mm-hmm. on your most holy faith. How?
Praying
in the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And if you don't do that, you are going to fall to the sins of this world.
And we all have to do that. There's times I feel like, okay, I'm sort of, you know, I need to pray in the Spirit. I need to build myself
yeah.
up. And so we can get like that. Sometimes we don't want to admit things like that, but we're all human, and you need to at times, especially, we need to pray in the Spirit all the time to keep ourselves built up. But when you see, you know, seem like the challenge or something
yeah.
you're going through,
yeah.
start praying in the Holy Spirit because you're going to pray the perfect
will
of God.
How many are filled with the Holy Spirit here? Put your hand up. If you're not, you need to get filled tonight,
yeah.
and that's a free gift that you can
yeah.
receive. I'm telling you, I was 17 years old when I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, people say, I got born again, and everything looked new. No, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I woke up the next day, and it was like, what planet am I on? I mean, I was, my mind, everything was changed about me. I'll put in my Bible. I closed it up because I was scared, man, because yeah. God had given me revelation knowledge. I looked at the scripture, and then he'd tell me all stuff about that scripture like I do with these services. I closed the Bible. I said, I can't. That's weird, man. Too much power.
Yeah. So
and I found mm-hmm. out that was part of the calling
yeah.
to be able to divide the word
right.
of truth.
It's so important to pray in the Holy Spirit. So let's end it by saying faith is having faith in God. When you say you have faith in God, you have to be saying the same thing. You have faith in the word of God, what God said. Say a big amen.
Amen.
And if you don't have faith in an area, that means you don't have enough word in that area.
And the just shall
live.
Faith is not just to get stuff. We live by faith.
Live
the
by
just
faith.
Shall. Those are just as if I never sinned. You're justified. The way I like for us to remember that is just as if I never sinned. Because that's how God sees you.
Yeah.
I don't care what you were. Once you get born again, you are just as if I never sinned. You're justified. Okay? So the justified or the just shall live by faith. So we don't live by just stuff. We don't live by just mm-hmm. hand to mouth. We don't live by our senses. We live by faith, and faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So the word of God becomes very important. That's why these sessions are important, because all we do is basically read the Bible and just break it down for you.
So I'm going to ask you guys a question. How many of you really believe you're going to heaven one day? See, you know why? Because you have faith.
Yeah.
Now, what if Satan comes to you and say, you're not going to heaven? What would you say to him? Yeah, you're a liar. Okay, you have to have that kind of tenacity for everything else in your life. You have to know that you know that you know that this is what God wants for
right.
me, and I'm going to attain it because I'm going to trust him and have faith in his word
and
for
been,
all areas yeah. of your life. And you should be just that adamant about, like you said, I'm going to heaven. Nobody can tell me I'm not going to heaven. You should be like that for everything in your life.
You know, and don't let your past sins keep you hostage. Go ask God for forgiveness get out of that mess.
But you have to have faith that he has forgiven
you. That's right,
you
and he has. Because
so
a lot of times, that's why people don't feel, they don't feel adequate when it comes to the things of God. They're very, you know, sharp in all these other areas. But when it comes to the things of God, they don't feel adequate because they're still dragging along the sins that they did. Go and sin no more. Don't do it again. Ask God for forgiveness, but don't keep going back and asking him every week, you know, God, forgive me again.
But if you hear about that too, you hear that, you know, God, Jesus went to the cross for your sins. You hear, see, that should build your faith to say, okay,
right.
I don't have to carry those sins anymore because he took the sins to the cross. And seeing as you hear that more and more, then you get further away from allowing
the
enemy.
Don't buy the whiskey.
Because after a while, he should not
do
be
the practical.
Able to,
delete the websites you've been going to. Do the practical.
Yeah.
Throw that stupid phone out the window. If you have to, if that's the best thing, I'd rather see you do that than go to hell.
Yeah.
The Bible says cut your hand off.
You know,
cut
I loved it.
Pluck your eye out. Hey. But I ain't telling you to do that. I'm telling you, throw your phone out. Buy a new
phone.
We're
closing, you guys. We're really closing.
You got to, I'm just...
Tell them about that truck. I loved it. I loved this truck that we saw the other day.
Yeah.
Big old truck.
I can't remember what it said, though.
It said about heaven or hell. It said,
oh, yeah.
It was big old letters. This trucker was driving his truck. I don't know if it was a company or whatever.
No website. No, nothing. It just said,
it thought about the choice.
Your choice. Heaven or hell. In big red and white letters.
Yeah, it said, your choice, heaven or hell.
I look for a website.
You
I look
choose.
For a phone number.
I love that.
He said,
we try to
honk
to say, hey, we're with you. We're with you. Big old truck. It's in my truck.
That's right. Heaven or hell.
He said, heaven, your choice, heaven or hell. You
said,
choose.
He's been listening to Don Shorter Jr.
So praise God. Come on, put your hands together and let's thank the Lord for the word.
Clap your hands
praise God, we can come and hear the truth. When you know the truth will set you free
you
free.
When you invite people to this church, you need to let them know they're a little radical now.
Yeah, that's right. Just tell them they're radical, bold.
You need to let people know. We're
straightforward, right in your face.